You know, Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21 says, "For me to live is Christ." And if Christ lives His life through us, if He lives out His life in our life, and if we are to live like Jesus, then it would be good for us to see how Jesus lived. And that's what we're going to start tonight. First thing we'll see is His submission. If you'll turn to Matthew chapter 3. In Matthew chapter 3, we will take a look at His submission in this particular situation. It was His submission evidenced in His baptism. Now, in Matthew chapter 3, in verse 13, it says, "Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." His submission to the Father. He had a work to do of the Father. John chapter, I think it's 4. Maybe it's 6. Well, in John chapter 4 to 6. Yes. In John chapter 4, he says, "I have come to do the will of my Father. I am come to do His work. My meat is to do His work." Meat meaning what sustained Him, what He lived for, lived by. And so here we have in this accounting of the baptism of Jesus in the Jordan River. Now, it's interesting because you see, John's baptism was an Old Testament baptism. It wasn't our baptism. It was a baptism to repentance. Verse 6, if you'll look in chapter 3 at verse 6, it says, regarding those who went out from Jerusalem and all Judea and the regions around Jordan and were baptized of him, John, in the Jordan, confessing their sins. See, now when we baptize, it's in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's people who have found the forgiveness of sins.
That's right.
But in this case, they came out confessing their sins. Verse 11, John says, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire." And that's a baptism unto repentance. So the question has been asked, well, why did Jesus come seeking this baptism? He certainly had no sins to confess. He had nothing to be baptized unto repentance. But he was fulfilling all of that which was required of him as a Jew and as the Messiah. And he was submitting himself to God's word. Now, suppose that this was maybe Jesus' anointing. Jesus had a threefold office. He was prophet, priest, and king. Prophet, priest, and king. And verse 16 says that when Jesus was baptized, the Spirit came down like a dove and lighted upon him. And there are those who consider this to be the anointing of Jesus in that threefold office of prophet, priest, and king. Now, that's just an idea as far as why was Jesus baptized. It fulfilled what was required of him,
right.
But it also indeed established him in the ministry that he was going be doing. And so this prophet, priest, and king, that's a threefold office that I don't think I'll ever forget. Back when I was first ordained, one of the questions that I was asked, well, I was first ordained in a denomination, New Evangelical denomination. And then when I left the denomination and became an independent pastor, the pastor who was counseling me thought it would be good if I would get ordained by a group of independent Baptist pastors, since all I had was a denominational one. Well, let me tell you, those independent pastors, they grilled me hard. They grilled me hard. I mean, that ordination council was all that you hear them to be. And one of the things they asked me was about the threefold office. And you know, I could not think of it. And I tried and I talked, and then they asked another question. They asked another question. Finally, I just stopped and said, well, it appears like I don't know the answer that you're looking for. and then they told me, and we moved on.
Yeah.
But prophet, priest, and king, he was all three. Then we move on to his temptations. Still in Matthew, this time chapter 4. And most of you, I believe, are familiar with this scripture. Then Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. And he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil taketh him up to an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all of these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then Jesus saith unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Now you're well aware that in these times of temptation, Jesus met the temptation with the scriptures, where when he said, it is written, it is written. But I want you to note that second temptation, the devil used scripture.
Right.
Okay, and we need to be certain that we are consistent in the use of the scriptures.
Yes, sir.
And that's why 1 John tells us that we need to try the spirits. Okay, not everybody that says Lord, Lord is not only not going to enter in the kingdom, but not everybody that talks about Jesus is from Jesus. And the way that we know is by what is written. We need to know the word on more than a superficial level, more than just a common, our kind of church circle knowledge. We need to know the word because we've read it, because we're studying it, because we're learning from it. It's so important that we're into the word It was after 40 days and 40 nights when he was hungry. That's when the tempter came.
Amen.
The tempter will come to us after we've been through a hard time, a troublesome time. Now that doesn't mean he can't come before that, and he won't come before that, but he gives us an understanding here. It was after he had gone through his fasting what weakened him. Now that's not saying we shouldn't fast because we'll be weak, but what it's saying is that when we are down, definitely the devil will take advantage of that, and he will try to use that to our harm.
Yes, sir.
And again, it's the scriptures that Jesus used. So if we're going to live like Christ and Christ is going to live through us, we need to be submitted to him to fulfill the word and the scriptures as he did in his baptism. And we need to use the word and the scriptures when it comes to the matter of the times of testing and temptation as they come to us. And it isn't that it can't or it won't come while we're sitting here in this church building, but you can count on it, young people, when you're at school, those who work at a place of employment, and the housewife at home, or whatever situation describes you, that's where the devil's going to come in our everyday life.
Amen.
And he will tempt us. He has one intention, to get us to fall, to get us to disobey God. And there's no such a thing as, well, it's a little thing. It won't really matter. You know, in the Old Testament, we're told that it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. Okay? And little tender grapes, the little foxes come and just nibble away at them. A wooden structure building in warmer climates than what we have are often toppled by a little insect called a termite.
Right.
It doesn't have to be big to do destruction. And so the thing that the devil may come and tempt us to do, tempt us to think. Before you do anything, you'll think. Pastor made that real clear to us, how it's important that we change our thinking. Because if we think something's okay, if we think it doesn't matter, if we think nobody will see, the devil will take advantage of it.
That's right.
Let's move to the book of Luke. Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Luke chapter 4. In Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. We're going to look at his teaching. Now this certainly isn't all that can be said regarding the teaching of Jesus Christ. This is one instance, and from it we endeavor to glean something that would be of help. All right, in Luke chapter 4, I'm going to begin reading at verse 16. When it says he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it is written, which is in Isaiah chapter 61, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he stopped. He closed the book. He gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him and began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." And all bare him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" And he said unto them, "Ye will surely say unto me this proverb, 'Physician, heal thyself.' Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country." We'll stop there. There's so much more in the chapter. But his teachings. Now, if you notice verse 19, if you were to compare verse 19 of Luke 4 with Isaiah 61 verse 2, you would see there is more in verse 2. It goes on to say, "And the vengeance in the day of the Lord." This first part, preaching the acceptable year of the Lord, has to do with the first advent, the first coming of Christ. And the second part of Isaiah 61 verse 2 that talks about the day of the vengeance of the Lord is talking about the second coming. And that's the truth that so many miss when they look to see if Jesus is Messiah. Because indeed he is. And but here's his teaching. Now notice his teaching. First of all, he says, "Anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent to heal the brokenhearted." So his teaching is for the poor, is for the brokenhearted. It's to deliver captives. Is there anybody that's captive to anything? Well, I guess. All sorts of captivity. Recovering of sight to the blind. Cares about the physical needs of people. Because he cares about it doesn't mean he's going to heal every one of them. And the great big TV healers, that's the point they miss. It's an important point, and that is the will of God.
That's right. Amen.
And the will of God is just not that everyone would be healed.
Right.
Because he has purposes to accomplish. And folks, this is a human body. And human bodies get sick. And you listen to the TV healers and you'd think that, you know, somehow it's a sin to get sick. No, people get sick. No, granted, somebody might be sick as a judgment from God because of a sin. But not everybody. Not most people. Physical bodies are as they are and they get sick.
Right.
They wear out. Talking with Skip Feister on Sunday morning, and I asked him if he remembers the song by Stuart Hamlin, "This Old House." And he talks about the house being like a body, okay? Indeed. And he says the window panes getting clouded over. The door creaks when you move it, okay? What Stuart Hamlin wrote and sang about was the fact that this body wears out. Now, naturally, when it begins to wear out, we plead with God for mercy and grace and help. But sometimes the help he gives is like he gave to the Apostle Paul, grace sufficient to bear that illness. I woke up the other morning and I had a big red spot on my hand. I showed it to Pat because I was hoping she could heal it. No, I showed it to her. I said, "I wonder what this is from." And she said, "Well, did you fall, you know, and hit this way? Or did you use your hand to hammer something?" And I couldn't, man, it's fading now. I'm going to live. But things happen. It's just part of life. But when our expectations are that Jesus will take away all unpleasantness, well, that's just not going to happen. because it's not in the book. That's not the Jesus of the Bible. But he does teach us that he will recover the sight to the blind. There are times where he works marvelous, miraculously for us. And to set at liberty them that are bruised, those who are held captive many times, their life is bruised. It's almost destroyed because of what holds them captive. And he preaches the acceptable year of the Lord. Close the book. Yes, his teachings are marvelous, and that's of course the goal of our whole life, and that is just to study the Bible, to know his life, to know his teachings. And we'll never fully achieve it. But someday we'll be with him and won't need then to study it. We'll be with the author. And that'll be marvelous. That'll be a wonderful, wonderful thing. Don't become discouraged, friends, at what you don't know. Don't become discouraged at what you seemingly can't accomplish or can't achieve in your Christian faith. Because when we allow ourselves to be discouraged by deficiencies, what happens is we give up. We say, what's the use? And at first we just put up a pretense and we go through the motions and we keep everything looking the same and normal. Who knows? There might be somebody sitting here tonight who's that kind of discouraged. And you're here because it's part of your practice, part of your life, and you're not ready yet to go that route of dropping out. But you don't have victory. You don't have peace anymore. You don't have the joy of the Lord. Oh, you know you're saved. You know you're going to heaven. You know you're held in the hollow of his hand. And that, my friend, is what you ought to be focusing on more so than whatever it is that has you discouraged and near to defeat. Think of all that God has done for you. What all he is accomplishing in you. And praise him for that. This may sound strange, and with this I'll end for tonight. When I first went to a community called Bell Run, I knew the Lord had led me there. I was sitting on the porch and I prayed, now Lord, I know you've sent me, but would you allow me to lead somebody to the Lord this week? Just sort of an endorsement on it. And you know he did.
Amen.
A fellow's name was Larry. He no longer lives anywhere in that area. And he got saved, got baptized. He was faithful to church. But you know, something he was never able to whip as long as I knew him was this little rectangular package about an inch thick that was in his shirt pocket. Cigarettes. He just couldn't get over it. He struggled and tried and struggled and tried. He'd get discouraged. He'd be near to giving up, and he wanted to go out and visiting, witness. But he said to me, he said, Pastor, how can I go out witnessing with this thing sticking in my pocket? And he knew the solution wasn't simply to take it out of the pocket. So, talked with him 2-3 different times. Finally, I came to this point. I said, Larry, because I know your heart is right in this matter, and because I know you want to stop, and because I know that you know it's not good for your testimony, let alone the health of your body, but the testimony is the thing that we care about as a Christian. I said, because I know all of those true things, I'm suggesting to you that you forget about it. He just looked at me. I said, what's happening, the devil is getting you to focus on your weak spot. It's your proverbial Achilles heel. And if he can keep you focused on that, he will keep you from accomplishing other things in your life and with your life that he wants to do.
Amen.
And Larry, as you grow in other areas of your life, you'll see how God works, and you'll be able to see the strength of God in your life for that area of your weakness. And so I challenged him. Now, folks like Larry, they never, ever are able to forget. It's always there to haunt them, whatever their Achilles heel is, that tender point that'll defeat them. But the fact of the matter is, if you're discouraged tonight, or if you're just not where you would like to be, look at all that God has done.
Amen.
Think of all that has been accomplished in your life. And you folks especially, because here you are on a Wednesday night.
Right.
Most of you can remember back to a time when Wednesday night was for, well, whatever, but certainly not going to church. But it is now. Why? Because of what God has been doing in your lives.
Amen.
And you say, well, that's not true of me. My parents brought me to church and the tooth marks are on the one pew yet where I, when I was teething, and I just grew up in church. Well, you have something to look at and thank God for, that he kept you out of many things because of being in church. And even if you got into some things, it was the faithfulness of parents and grandparents that have nevertheless enabled you to avoid all that you could have done. Good night, look at what you did do.
Amen.
But because of God's grace. So we all have something to thank God for, his grace. All have something. Father in heaven, our desire is that you would work in us in such a way that it enables us to live like Christ, to be submitted as he was, and to teach truth as he was, to face temptation as he did. Lord, in so many areas we need your grace. Lord, in all areas we need your grace. And we're thankful that you are willing to freely grant it to us. Now, as we go to prayer time, we pray that you would help us as we intercede on behalf of the needs of others. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, prayer requests. Linda.
I don't know if you remember me asking for prayer with Sue White last weekend.
Yes.
She died yesterday.
Oh.
And so pray for her family, please. And
okay.
Doug, of course. And pray for Tess. She's on vacation next week. Taking the kids up to Niagara Falls. Oh, Lord, Seth, he was picking up yesterday and saying that he wants to bury all the Niagara Falls.
I share